Close your eyes and focus on the fact that you are breathing. And the Greek word spirit means to breathe. Breath comes with our first connection with the body when we are born into this world. Perhaps the doctor gives us a slap on the backside and the breath begins. Breath also marks the ending of life. As we breathe our last, we exhale, and no longer does the inhale follow. And we have left this body. The spirit has fled. In yoga, this breath is seen as the connector between the consciousness that existed before and after the body, and exists while it is identified and connected with this body. In order to learn to consciously die, as St. Paul says, I die daily in Christ consciousness, in the universal consciousness of all that is. I die daily. We focus upon the breath. Learn to observe the breath, to watch it, to be aware of its tides as it flows in and ebbs out. Do nothing to change it, but simply observe it. Let your whole attention rest upon it. You'll observe that your breath naturally begins to slow down. You may notice your body relaxing. Whatever the case, just simply observe the breath. Be the conscious witness to its coming and going, its coming and going. You will find that this is the key to discovering the spirit that resides within you. And as your mind calms, your breath slows naturally, the spirit will reveal itself to you. This is the secret that the great contemplatives down through all time have known. Or they have discovered within the laboratories of their own experience. The Vedas say, awake, arise, awaken in spirit, arise in consciousness. Know that you are more than this mortal body. Begin by observing the breath. And from our deepest knowledge of spirit, let us pray. O Heavenly Father, Divine Mother, Beloved Jesus Christ, Blessed Master, Saints and Sages of all religions, I bow to all of you.
I bow to all of you.
Free my life from all obstacles.
Free my life from all obstacles.
And give me physical, mental, and spiritual development.
And give me physical, mental, and spiritual development.
Make my mind thy temple.
Make my mind thy temple.
Make my heart thy altar.
Make my heart thy altar.
Make my love thy home.
Make my love thy home.
Be thou the only king.
Be thou the only king.
Reigning on the throne of my consciousness.
Reigning on the throne of my consciousness.
Ooh. Ooh. peace,
peace.
Bliss.
Bliss.
Amen. From the Vision magazine, under Papa Answers, Devotee, when we are very eager to destroy the ego, is it not a danger in itself? Papa, it is no danger at all, for by surrendering our ego to God, we only become his children and attain full freedom. In this, there is no danger. On the other hand, to have the ego is dangerous. There is danger in not having him. Until we surrender ourselves to him, we are in a state of peril, as we shall be subject to many fears and anxieties. So the best thing is to hand our life over to him. When we are under his protection, we are fearless. It is just like a child being under the care of its mother. So when we are conscious of God, we are protected. We feel secure. There is an oft-quoted sloka in the Bhagavad Gita, the great scripture of the Hindus, wherein Lord Krishna says, "To those who worship me alone, thinking of no other, to such devotees who are ever united with me in contemplation, I bring full security, fulfilling all their wants and taking care of them." So those who take refuge in God are ever fearless. There is for them a sense of security, both spiritual and physical. This is absolutely true. There is no doubt about it. Ram Dass can bear out this truth from his own experience. God took him up and made him his own 33 years ago. From that time onwards, he has been experiencing wonderful protection and security in all circumstances and situations. Whenever there were difficulties, God made him face them as meant for his own good, and the result was he found that they were no difficulties at all. We should not ask God to remove our difficulties, but only pray to him to enable us to see his will in them, in all our trials and hardships. God is all love and kindness, and he means no ill. He is also the sole doer. If we have this faith and surrender, we can remain happy and cheerful in all conditions. Good and bad are according to our mental attitude. Nothing is, by itself, good or bad. Everything happens for the best. What is good for us at one time is not good for us at another. What is good for one is not good for another. So we have no real standard for good and bad, applicable in all cases, conditions, and situations in our life. They change as our mind changes. What appears to be an ideal thing now is not so after some time, because the mind has changed. So happiness and misery are our own creations, based on our mental attitude towards events. If we transcend this relative plane, all states will be good for us. Therefore, the best way for us is to dwell in the divine, in the highest consciousness, which we can develop by constant practice of self-surrender. Self-surrender is the way. We should feel and say, "I am nothing, O God. It is you who make me talk, walk, and do all things. Verily, it is by your power this body, mind, and senses are active. It is now that our life becomes blissful and our actions spontaneous. There will be then in us no lust, greed, or wrath. Our life will be thoroughly purified and illumined with divine light. This is the aim of human life. Life is not intended to be lived in subjection to our lower nature, but to be raised and transformed in an expression of divine power and joy." Rama asks, how can we realize the Lord? Vasishtha replies, the Lord can be realized only when one is firmly established in the unreality of the universe. It is unreal as the blueness of the sky. Dualism presupposes unity, as non-dualism suggests duality. God can be realized only when the creation is known to be unreal. The steps in realization. The steps in realization come to the devotee in the time that is right for them. Each one of us aspire for the highest truth, for that consciousness that will release us from all ignorance. This is the goal and the standard of yoga consciousness, or union with the infinite. God is known to be that infinite, endless, beginningless consciousness from which everything has sprung. All creation as we see it is an expression of that consciousness. From a worldly standpoint, we think that God created this world. What is more accurate is to say that God creates this world. The creation is constantly evolving, coming forward, being sustained for some time, and then being withdrawn back into the universal nature of God. Each day sees a brand new incarnation. We learn through yoga philosophy that reincarnation is the law of life, that as long as we hold desire nature for this world, for our place in it, for activities and sensations that are derived from it, we will ever be enthralled in the worldly consciousness and come back again and again while desire nature lasts. When desire nature is transferred from things of the senses to the divine consciousness of God, and we no longer have a hankering after sensory experience, but are satisfied in the soul-fulfilling bliss of God, in that union of consciousness, then we are freed from the reincarnational rounds that continually bring us back. The ego is afraid that there will not be any real joy if we give up on this worldly standard of enjoyment. It is convinced that only by clinging on to this body is anything of value really attained. Flash before somebody some source of money, some perhaps a $10,000 bill, and you'll see great excitement in the room. Everybody will be pleased with this and hope that it will be something that will come their way. And yet, residing right within us is the source of joy that we wish to attain by having that $10,000 bill. Or make it a $100,000 check or $1 million check, whatever would entice everyone in the room to become excited. We anticipate with that money that we will be able to buy the things that we will be able to enjoy, and through enjoying those things, we will gain real prosperity, we will gain real enjoyment, real fulfillment. Of course, any simple analysis of anyone who has gained great wealth and to see whether they have such unbounded happiness as they have unbounded wealth will soon reveal that those who have much oftentimes are in misery, even as those who have little are sometimes the most joyful people you will ever meet. That really happiness is a decision that we make. We decide to be happy. We decide to be happy with our circumstances. We decide to be happy with what God has given us in this lifetime. If you were to be living in poverty in some world, third world country, and to come to the United States with its abundance, with its wealth, you would think perhaps that you had died and gone into some paradise. And yet people existing here compare themselves to somebody who has more than they do, and therefore they feel like they are poor for the comparison. If we have enough to eat, if we have clothes, if we have shelter, this is sufficient for happiness in this world. There are even the sannyasis and the sadhus of India who dispense with any housing, with sometimes all of their clothes, without any assurity of having food for the day. And yet, as in Ram Dass's case, they experience pure and unalloyed joy. That joy is a spontaneous eruption of their soul. That they have that wisdom that guides them from moment to moment. And so they do not feel that they have dispensed with anything of importance, but rather they have discarded those things that the mind becomes attached to and ultimately produces misery. This is not to say that ownership, having a home, having clothes, having a job or stability in that way is a bad thing. It is just simply that we need to be conscious and aware of what real happiness, what real joy we can have by deciding to be happy day to day. This decision to enter into real joy, to decide what is really important to us, between having the outer show of things and having the inner realization that brings real joy, it's the first step in gaining that consciousness that will produce the eternal blissful nature that we all wish to have. We can work on ourselves, we can even work on having more in our life, more prosperity, become a better person, develop a better memory, have better health, and all the rest of it. But all of this development ultimately results in coming to that place in our life where we surrender everything that we call our own. What is the purpose and the nature of this surrender? The purpose in this surrender is that whatever we have at one point, as Papa points out in this writing that I read from this evening, is good for us at one point, becomes of a delusive nature at another point. We must be willing to surrender everything that we call our own in order to gain the universal consciousness wherein we realize that we are one with everything. There is nothing lacking within our own intelligence, within our own consciousness. There is nothing lacking there because we are one with that infinite consciousness which we call God. And being one with that consciousness, we have everything residing within us. It may sound like a very strange thing, but once I was taken up in an experience, and within the spine of my own body, my inner vision looked in and it saw there the entire universe existing. That there was literally no place to go because everything resided within me. From St. John Divine of the Revelations, to Krishna of the Bhagavad Gita, to all the great mystics and saints and sages of all times, it was an affirmation of the great truth that they taught. The great delusion is that everything exists outside of us, including our happiness. It is only by orchestrating our world to have those things which we imagine to make us happy that we will generate any real happiness inside. When we surrender all ideas, all notions of what we call I and mine, and we are able to totally let them go, a new consciousness is created inside. Jesus said that you do not pour new wine into an old wineskin. The old wineskin is your old mindset, your old way of thinking about this world. The new wine is the spiritual consciousness, the bliss, the joy, the uplifting consciousness of God. And so it will not fit into the old wineskin because it will tear that old wineskin apart. Once Ramakrishna was asked why he and other saints go through some physical difficulties at times in their awakening and their realization of God. And he said it's like an elephant inside of a hut. And that elephant begins to sway and to move left and right. What will happen to that hut? The hut will start to disintegrate. It'll start to shake apart. And even so, the old wineskin, the old mind, begins to get torn apart. Now, this is frightening to many people because they believe that they are those mindsets. What will happen if I don't have my mind? What will happen if my old consciousness gets destroyed? Maybe I'll have nothing. Maybe my life will come apart. Maybe I'll go crazy. Maybe I'll become dead. And so in order to go through that experience, we must surrender ourselves and everything that we call mine, everything that we have identified with in the past. Now, this is not something that happens in the beginning, because in the beginning, the mind is not ready to surrender itself. It wouldn't even understand that as a concept. But as we develop as a soul, as we develop in our realization, we begin to let go of those notions of everything that we have called I and mine. As we do so, a marvelous thing begins to happen within us. The old mindset begins to disintegrate. That comes about in so many ways through this mystical, spiritual crucifixion that we are put through. First of all, the body begins to change as a result of this new wine of consciousness being poured in. And the old mindset is being destroyed. The body sometimes goes through earthquakes, as was predicted. And through those earthquakes, his whole body shakes, and it feels as if it's going to fly apart into a million different pieces, because this dynamic, vital energy, this consciousness, is pouring itself into this new skin, into this new body made new in Christ. And so the old thought structures are disintegrating, the old ways of doing things, and sometimes things are taken away from you. There was a time when I could perfectly do my checkbook, I think, as most people with at least an eighth grade education can do. Can add, they can subtract, they can put the numbers in. Suddenly this became totally a foreign subject to me. I couldn't do it. I had money in the checking account, and yet I couldn't even write checks for my own bills that I needed to pay. It was a very humbling experience to come to this and to recognize that month after month sometimes I go through and I just couldn't bring my mind to focus in it on the old way. I asked God, why is this happening to me? And the answer that I got was that on a deep level, money consciousness was being taken away from me. And therefore, I couldn't concentrate on the old methods of dealing with money in the way that I had before. And I had to ask for help in order for somebody to come in and to balance my checkbook, to write out the checks on a monthly basis. And in this way, God saw to it that I didn't get into total trouble with those that I owed money to. Before, I was avoiding asking anybody for help because, as I say, it was a humbling time to admit that you couldn't do the simplest of things that before had been such an easy thing to do. And so one thing after another is taken from you. My ability to interact into this world, I remember when I first got on to the spiritual path. And before that, I used to, as a young man, have lots of excitement about going to some party. Somebody was throwing an event, and I'd have such excitement about that. Once entering onto the spiritual path, that kind of excitement actually became painful to me. And I couldn't enter into the old pattern of activities in the way that I had before. And this was the very beginning of things being taken away. But it's only being taken away from an egotistical sense. It is only the old wineskin being taken away so that a new wineskin might be given to you in order to contain that new consciousness. Now, rarely does that happen all at once, but many times it happens gradually, over time, over years. But you may notice that these different things are taken away from you, but there need be no fear. Because whatever is being taken away from you in the sense of the old dying away, there will be a resurrection, there will be a rebirth that occurs as a result. Mother asks Swami Ram Dass, having such great gratitude herself that he was there when she went through these tremendous experiences and felt that without him she would have gone insane, that she would have died perhaps. And with his protection, with his guidance, she was able to make it through these experiences. And she asked him, what would happen to somebody who didn't have the help that she had from him? And he said, surely God will take care of such a one. So you never have to worry where things will come from, where your help will be there. In no way could I have anticipated that my life would have gone in the direction that it has, that I would have left my old occupation, that I would have been taken care of in the way that I have been, that I would have been made useless for this world in many ways that the world considers important, and yet inwardly I've been given a work to do. Now sometimes this is difficult for the human mind because it is an invisible work by worldly standards. Somebody may say, what do you do with your days? Well, my days are completely full, I assure you. And they're very strenuous. But to look at it from the outside, you may not know it. The load that is carried within this body is oftentimes difficult to shoulder. The other day I had the vision of myself without the support, without the power, without the blessings of the infinite flowing through me, that I would be like a little aluminum can that some giant elephant would step on and just squash it into nothingness. And that's what I would be if it weren't for that inward power that is constantly supporting, constantly guiding, constantly giving comfort and aid to the human personality and the human body that is a projection of this divine consciousness. In no way could I take on the responsibilities and the ability to teach and the ability to help others without that inside source of infinite power and light. And it is not unique to me. It is the source of all of us. If you breathe, if you think, if you have your being, you are already in intimate touch with that unlimited power and light. You are already one with it. It is the breath of your breath. It is the feeling of your feeling. It is the thought of your thought. It is the life energy that operates within you that enables you to digest your food, to breathe, for your heart to beat, for all the activities that go on within your body, for all the life energy that comes in and sustains you, for the intelligence that guides you. Now most of us feel that we are alone, cut off from the divine, that God is far away from us. But this is not the reality. The reality is that God is so intimate that oftentimes we don't even notice. Have you ever become so accustomed to someone or something in your life being there that somehow you don't even pay proper attention to that thing or that person anymore because they just feel like they belong there? It's just perfectly normal. And yet how sorely you would miss that if it was taken out of your life. God is like that. God is intimately involved in our life, in every aspect of our life. There is no place that you can turn that God is not. God is involved in money. God is involved in power and business and sex, in all the activities of light, all those places where we would just assume perhaps that God not be involved. Yet he is a respecter of our individuality. He has given us free will from that standpoint. And if we choose to live in separation, he is willing to let us live in that apparent separation, even though there is no reality to it. It is the life force that sustains us in all things, in all places. And when we surrender to him, we take that final step in consciousness, where we realize that of ourselves we are nothing. It is the Father who doeth the works. This was not true just for one man who existed 2,000 years ago. It's not true just for Jesus. It was not true just for Moses. It was not true just for Krishna or Buddha. But it is the living reality of us all. The problem is, most of us shield ourselves from that knowledge. We act as if we exist alone, separate, without that eternal divine connection. It is a lie, and it was a lie from the beginning. It has ever been a lie, and it is a thief, because it robs from us our divine heritage. It is darkness, because it shields us from knowing the light. But it has no power beyond our say-so. We say, yes, I am separate. I am not connected to God. I am not of divine nature. I am only this singular human being who has no connection with the infinite. And as a result of that, we live in separation from the divine joy and bliss of which we are meant to participate in, as the kids say today, 24/7. It should be with us always, and is always with us. But we miss it. We miss it. But we don't need to miss it any longer. Any longer. When you feel within yourself your initiative to do something, feel that that is God moving inside of you. When you feel yourself able to shift your body, to lift your arm, to do anything within this physical body, feel that that is God's power moving through you. When you have feelings of love, when you feel expansiveness, when you feel peace, feel that that is God moving within you. Even if you feel separation, feel that that is God living in you as separation. That's a wonderful way to short-circuit the idea of separation, is to make God separation itself. Because instantly you become one with God, even within the separation. All consciousness comes from that infinite divine source. Yes, people do things of a cruel nature, one against another. And it is because they live in that apparent field of separation. And so they do not realize what they do to another is what they do to themselves. And if they help another, they are helping themselves. And if they degrade another, they are degrading themselves. But that is because they have not realized the infinite nature of consciousness, and that we are that. We are that infinite nature of consciousness. Sometimes I tell you of some of my internal experiences, and so God prompted me to read this today from one of my notes in July. God is infinite. That is, God is unending, eternal, ever new, all powerful. God creates us in his image and likeness. His image means that he has mental patterns expressed in creation, energetic movements, and physical form evident in all that is seen. We too have thoughts, energy, and physical manifestation. We also create these according to our desire, will, and develop capacity, even as God creates according to his own rules and structure. His likeness is his spirit. Spirit is the formless, beginningless, endless state of being. It is without limits, and it is ever new, joyful, perfect. We are that. We are told by the great spiritual masters throughout time that we may experience what God is, we may know ourselves to be one with him. As I contemplate his spirit, as I contemplate his spirit nature, I know him to be ever new joy. This joy bubbles up from the depths of my soul within, like effervescent bubbles rising up. The outer boundaries of self dissolve into endless peace. Wisdom thoughts, stamped with truth, spontaneously appear. Stillness prevails, yet movement occurs on certain levels, like waves on the ocean's surface may indicate movement, while the vast majority of water remains unaffected by the wave's motion. Light characters of people and events come and go, like on a screen. Joyful expressions of the one, yet the stillness prevails. All human experience runs like rivers into an ocean of consciousness, never causing the ocean to overflow. Joyful peace sings as an incredible song of the infinite. This love is without limits, deeply satisfying, beyond words' ability to convey. These descriptions erupt from me as I observe them flow like smooth liquid oil from soul pores. Solace, peace, beyond understanding, rings as omniscient sound reverberates its love song. So you see, I tell you these things, not as they are written in some book, or because somebody else has espoused them. I was originally attracted to this path because it is a path of experience. It is not of learning a philosophy and then espousing the words that we have memorized, but rather it is learning a living truth, a truth that flows within us, that informs us of who and what we truly are, that is constantly revealing to us our divine nature. We can choose to live for as long as we want, in separation, in the idea that we are separate from all that is, or we can choose to enter into this path in earnest, to develop our personality qualities that will take us closer to the soul qualities that are inherent within us. That as we develop ourselves as aspirants, as individuals with good qualities, that we will rise into new spheres of consciousness and going step by step, we will finally come to that place where we will surrender the idea of I and mine that are at the root of our separation from the infinite divine consciousness. And through that surrender, the old wineskin of consciousness, the old wineskin of the mindset that perhaps served us well at one point in our development, is eradicated, is destroyed, is taken apart piece by piece, and a new body, a new consciousness, a new wineskin is created. And with that, we are newly created in our divine nature and rising up beyond this human existence, we'll realize that this existence has nothing of truth, nothing of reality inherent within it, rather is an illusion that has preoccupied the mind. And we will rise into that infinite consciousness and expansiveness and know ourselves to be the I am that I am. The I am consciousness of the eternal self, the all-blissful nature of the eternal self, the all-knowing aspect of the eternal self. These are the steps that will take you to your own realization so that you may know who and what you truly are.